make sure I'm saying this just right. Maintaining doctrine of purity. Maintaining doctrine of purity. So when you look at this passage of scripture that we have before us, when I say Timothy is an evangelist, Timothy is not the only one that's responsible for maintaining doctrine of purity. There's a term that we usually refer to in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. When Paul talked about the laying on of the hands of the prophecy of the presbytery, you're talking about the eldership. So I want you to know that the preacher and the elders in the church are very important to us. The church would be nowhere without the preacher, who is an evangelist. He is the one who plants churches. He is the one who brings churches to maturity. He is the one who actually appoints elders in the Lord's church. And in the case of Timothy, stay on in Ephesus and see to it that they teach no other doctrine. If you look a little bit further at the work of the evangelist, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in about verse 18 or 17 or 18 somewhere there, Paul said to Timothy, I want to make sure that I have that scripture is right, chapter 5 and verse number 19, he said, against an elder do not receive an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Then he said, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may feel. To me, here you're looking at some responsibility placed on the evangelist. I'm looking at the first century evangelist. I know. In the 21st century, many times this is said that elder, that the evangelist better not attempt to do. And maybe, but what we, the responsibility we have today is to speak where the Bible speaks. And as I had better, to the best of my ability, convey to the people what I believe is true. I'm not always right. And whenever I'm wrong, I'm always willing to retract and apologize. Let's look further at Timothy then. We know that the church at Ephesus had elders. Read about them in the book of Acts chapter 20. Well, the Apostle Paul, when he went into Ephesus and instructed them, he called for the elders to come down from Ephesus to Miletus. And he gave instruction. So we know that the church had elders. But in fact, if you drop down to about verse number 30, Paul mentioned that after his departure, he said, grievous wolves would enter in among them. He even mentioned from among your own brethren, to some arise teaching perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And I believe here, I know that you can read all your commentators, they're not probably going to say what I'm going to say, but I believe that Timothy saw all of these problems. Paul saw them, and Timothy had the responsibility of guiding the church in a loving, in a kind way. I don't believe now that Timothy went in with a big stick beating them on the head. But I believe that he's taught them the truth out of love. And that is what we have got to do today. Many times today, we put the preacher down kind of low. In fact, some of the brethren have taught me that the preacher is of little significance. He has no authority. I don't believe that. I believe that the preacher is one who must preach God's word. In fact, about it, I would like to refer you to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, for just a moment. And let's look at what happened with the preacher. Beginning about the 13th verse, I'm not going to go through all of this, but Paul raised a question. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Paul here is quoting from the Old Testament, one of the old prophets. And he said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he raised the question, so how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard. All of these are very important. Many times I have listened to the preacher, not only Brother Branch, but to Brother Williams and others, even elders. They stress the importance of hearing the gospel, the importance of believing the gospel. Then he goes on to say to them, that how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Once upon a time, I was told as a member of the church that the preacher was no more than a backseat member. I didn't believe it, but I couldn't argue with the point. I refuse to accept that now because I know better. The preacher had responsibility in the first century. And I don't believe that in this changing world, the gospel has changed one bit. If he had responsibility then, he has it now. I'm talking about the Church of Christ. I want to emphasize to you, I believe now, I believe that the evangelists in the first century had to have some oversight. I know this is knocking, it kind of hit you a little bit. How could Timothy go into Ephesus, where they had elders, and see to it that they didn't teach any false doctrine? I know that the teachers in Ephesus, somebody said it might not have been elders. But I know that in the New Testament church that the elders are the government of the local church. Y'all can say amen to that. You read from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verses 12 and 13. And the church should have great respect and love for your elders, for they watch for our souls. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Verses 15, 17. Read all of those passages of scripture. See that the elders have a great responsibility. That does not mean that the preacher doesn't have the responsibility. As I said, I believe that the evangelists had oversight. I want to go a little bit farther with that. I just put it out to you in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 in about verse 20, that when the elders sinned, the evangelists had responsibility. I'm going back and visit them. I believe that out of love, he had to correct them. However, now listen, folks. Do you know, I served as an elder one time. I might have had the big head a little bit. A preacher had to be very careful to come in and try to correct an elder, especially when we think we're at the top. May I leave there? The preacher had responsibility, and I believe he had oversight. I wouldn't go a bit farther, but I believe that. To maintain doctrine of purity, you have the preacher must see to it that the truth is taught. However, in the local church, many times the evangelist is out there carrying the gospel to other corners of the world. And you had elders who did preaching also. If you would turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5 and verse 17, you will see that the Bible says that the elders that rule well should be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor at the word and doctrine. When I read this, I wonder sometimes if what double honor really means. Did they get paid? You read a little bit further. Paul makes it known to us that the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. He's talking about paying these brethren. Not all of the elders were preachers. And sometime in my study, I have been led to believe that everybody in the New Testament church that held a sacred office were called elders. You might not ever come to that conclusion, but if you push me, I think I can convince you about that. But let's look at something here. Should the evangelist be paid? Well, sure he should. You read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You read the first 16 verses. The same thing is taught that the evangelist, even though he is out at the field working, he may not be here at Northwest. And I believe you ought to take good care of your preacher. And please don't stop doing it. Is that all right for me to say that? We're looking at the first century church. And it has not changed. since then, in the next 1,000 years, it's not going to change. We might change. That is, when I say we, I'm talking about some of us are going to change, but God is not going to change. I would like to point out something. Talking about maintaining pure doctrine of purity, I was up in Tennessee and I was warned about some of the things that are happening. One of our leading Christian colleges, I was told that they had a student, a female student. I have nothing against women, just married one. The president of the school dispatched one of the sisters to serve as the preacher for one of the local churches. And they tell me they received her with open arms. That's a change. I believe to maintain doctrine of purity, women were not preachers. I believe that all of the preachers in the first, let me go back to something. All of the apostles were males. Not only were they males, but I believe they all held a sacred office. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 20. And I believe that if you look careful at the qualification for elders even in a local church, read in the book of First Timothy chapter 3, it makes it known that the elders have to be the husband of one wife. Woman, you can't change. She can't, she might want to, but you, to maintain doctrine of purity, if I was able to get up out of the grave and come back here 150 years from now, if Northwest still in existence, I would expect to see men doing what God told them to do. To maintain doctrine of purity, sometimes the elders have a grave responsibility, folks. I have often heard folks say that elders better not bother me about how I live at home. Do you not know that when we get married nowadays, some of us marry anybody we want to. We don't have any regard. The Bible is teaching us that you should marry only in the Lord. Don't be like Samson, who married the uncircumcised Philistine woman. God wants Christians to marry Christians. And some of us are marrying anybody I want to. The elders have a responsibility of counseling, coaching, and seeing to it that I don't go and marry a Philistine woman. Is that all right to say that? Let me go a little bit further. Sometimes in the church, some of us get a little hard-headed. And I say, well, I'm tired of the woman I'm married to, and I want me a stepwife. I think y'all get my point. I want you to laugh a little bit. What is a stepwife? Every husband should be faithful and devoted to his wife. Every woman, every Christian woman ought to be a faithful, devoted wife to her husband. And if you're not, a brother, elders, or shepherds, they have a responsibility to catch an Arthur Hewlett some kind of way, by the neck, a head, or whatever, and say, you can't do that here. You want to maintain doctrine of purity? The people got to live right. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And sometimes we don't want to be disciplined, but I want you to know that every child of God received discipline from God. Amen. Look at the book of Hebrews, for an example, chapter 12, and somewhere about verse number 8. The Bible tells us that all of us that God loves, he chastises us. Amen. And sometimes he whips us. We ought to be glad. Know that God loves us. God got to give us a preacher, give us elders to look out for us, to maintain doctrine of purity. They have a responsibility to sing to it that we don't bring in false doctrines. We don't live ungodly lives. Isn't that wonderful? I could go on and on. The doctrine that we speak, that we preach, must be sound.
Timothy, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he told him, "I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." He told him to preach the word. The instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. By the way, the woman preacher, I saw one last night who was making a noise, but I'm a preacher. The woman preacher, women cannot publicly rebuke men. I'm talking about from the pulpit. Is that all right to say that? I might need to say that again. The woman is not authorized to rebuke men in public, in public worship. In fact, about it, she is not in First Century Church. Women were not preachers in the First Century Church. I can say that again. So anyway, what I'm trying to emphasize here is that Paul is saying to us, saying to the preacher, to preach the word. And when there's need to be rebuking, do it. He said that for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. In Ephesus, it appears that one of the big problems there, that the teachers had turned aside from the gospel of Christ. And I can imagine getting into fables, endless fables and genealogies. And I don't know, somebody said this they were trying to establish a direct connection between themselves and heaven. Whatever it was, they're told not to do it. It was the job of the preacher there to see to it that this thing was corrected. Today is no different. We have many false teachers today, and they will always be there. As Paul, or as Peter said, there were false teachers among the people in Israel, and they're going to be in the church today. So we have to be very careful. It does not mean, now let me explain. I do not believe that just because a preacher or the elder or somebody made a mistake or didn't understand something, that they were false teachers. All of us make mistakes. I was looking at it. I used to keep some of my old sermons I had 40 years ago, and I wouldn't want y'all to know what I was saying. I think I've grown a little bit. You follow what I'm saying? I imagine Brother Branch can look back even 10 years ago, and he too has grown some. All of us keep growing. We're honest people. When we learn better, we do better. You follow me? Time for me to conclude. Let me tell you what I want to say too. The New Testament church, in the New Testament, the New Testament does not lend itself to all kinds of churches. I think we'll agree with that. In fact, about it, I'm going to even go a little bit further. The New Testament does not lend itself even to two kinds of churches of Christ. I remember once, your brother said to the preacher, he said, "You need to get in with him." I was saying something that he didn't approve of, and I'm not going to tell you what it was right now, but he said, "He's a liberal." Brethren, if you preach the gospel, if you're going to be an elder or preacher, there better be some liberality. You cannot be an elder unless you're liberal with your hospitality. The preacher cannot make a good ambassador for God unless he is liberal. He must be willing and able and capable of going out into the community and getting among thieves and robbers and conveying Christ to them. But all the folks you run into, they are not going to be fine, nice people. They are people that worse than Saul was in his day. People who will kill you. So you got to know how to go out there and be kind and loving to them, and yet stand firm with the gospel of Christ. I'll tell you what, I'm one put back down. Somebody told me, "You're going to die trying to convey the truth of the gospel." I don't mind that, folks. I believe somebody has got to do it, and we got to do it right. And I know that every one of you as preachers and elders, you've got to be committed to this thing to the extent that you want Christ to be magnified and glorified. Surely, I said that you, the church, the Bible does not lend itself to two kinds of churches. So what are you saying? I'm saying that every one of us in here, not only in this audience, but wherever the gospel is preached, there's only one church. And God intended for everybody to become a member of that one church. You're not going to ever get there without the preacher. How can he preach except he be sent? I must say this is going to be a hit and run thing. The question sometimes, folks ask, you get tired of the preacher, been there too long, I got too old. You heard that kind of talk about preachers? You're going to get old too. Are you going to leave? The elders are usually the mature, older men anyway. You going to get rid of them because they're old? Recently somebody said, we need to get rid of that preacher. I said, why? Well, he's been there too long. That was a preacher once said to me when I was a younger man. He said, I want to get a chance to go down to that big church and become an elder. They had several smaller churches, and I said, why you want to go down there? He said, the first thing I want to do is find that preacher. Why? I didn't say anything to this fellow because I didn't want to get in a fight that I couldn't defend right then. How can he preach except he be sent? Look at that. It's in Romans chapter 10 and about verse 15. Who sent the preacher? Somebody said, church. No, this is not this case. The preacher is a product of the Great Commission. And you know who sent the preachers? God sent them. God sent Brother Branch. And let me tell you, the preacher is being used for hell. He carries a message from God. And Brother Branch, whoever, brother, well, you better not change any of it. You see, the herald in the olden days, he carried a message for the king. And whenever he was sent out into the providence with this message, when he would get to the town square, he would get off his horse, I'm assuming, and to the hitching post, and he would get his ram's horn and blow it. People would come running into the town square, and he would open up the scroll and read the message of the king to the folks. He wasn't allowed to change not one thing, the dotting of an I across of the T. If he changed anything, when he got back, the king would cut his head off. So he was dutiful to the king. The preachers, too, we must be loyal and faithful and dutiful to the word of God. Thank you so kindly, folks, for allowing you again to come and help. I hope I've said something that was worthwhile tonight. Thank you.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
A great way to start off preaching tonight with Arthur Hewley. Really expound unto us the word of God there. Maintaining doctrinal purity. We have a great responsibility to do that. And I hope that all of us